Good morning and welcome back to Nahiyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Yirmiyahu Perek Lamed Vav, the 36th chapter of Sefer Yirmiyahu, and this is the chapter of the scroll. So it's one particular story which occurs in the lifetime of Yirmiyahu, and the dating of the story is in the fourth year of the reign of Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim is the second king that Yirmiyahu is really prophesizing during the reign of. And Jehoiakim is not interested in Yirmiyahu. He's not interested in hearing about doom. He's quite comfortable. He's got his arrangements with Egypt. He's not interested in the danger in the north or in changing and reforming his social action. It happens to be that this is also the fourth year of Jehoiakim is a significant year in that it is the year of the assuming of power of Nebuchadnezzar. So this is the moment that Babylon starts taking power. So this is the context for it. What actually happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Yirmiyahu and tells him the following. He says, "Kosavta, you should take a Megillas Sefer," so I take some sort of parchment, "Kosavta, and you should write on it, Es kolad varim asher dibarti elecho al Yisrael v'al Yehuda, v'al kolad goyim yom asher dibarti elecho mimei Yoshiyov ad hayom hazeh." I want you to write down all the things I've told you from the times of Yoshiyo till now, put them into a sefer, and maybe people will be able to listen and change their ways. This is what he is being told to do. What is he actually writing down before we go a little further? Most of the Mefarshim say that we're talking about actually Megillas Eicha, which is called sometimes Kinos, which is sometimes referred to this as Kinos. And as the Mitzvot points out, it's not the prophecies. He's not talking about the prophecies that occurred from the times of Yoshio, or like with the book of Yirmiyahu itself. Rather, it's Yirmiyahu's reflection on those. It's coming from. It's not a nevuah. It's not a prophecy. It's a divinely inspired with Ruach HaKodesh words of Yirmiyahu about this experience, which is why the book of Eicha is actually placed in the section of scriptures, Ksuvim, as opposed to Nevi'im, which is where Yirmiyahu is. So that's what he writes. This is what he's being commanded to write down. So Malbim points out, and the Mitzudos, and the Chida, and the Barbanel, everybody takes this line. Now, what does he actually do? So Yirmiyahu calls Baruch ben Neriah. We've met Baruch ben Neriah before. He, early on, was the one who he gave the deed of the land to when he bought the field of his cousin, Chamamel. And he tells Baruch ben Neriah, "Look, I'm at ani atzur v'lo Hashem. I'm caught here. I can't go to the house of Hashem. But I want you to write down everything I'm saying." So he dictates to Baruch everything he needs to say, and he says, "Go and go to the Heichal. Go to the Beis Hamikdash on a Yom Tzon, on a day of fasting when the people are around, and read it to them. Maybe, as Hashem says, somebody will listen to what I'm about to say." And that's what he does. So Baruch reads this. Baruch obviously is an ally with Yirmiyahu. Baruch is a person who deeply trusts Yirmiyahu. I mean, if you imagine being asked favors by friends, you know, there are different kinds of favors. You know, there's favors to do things, to nominate, to stand up for, to testify for, to borrow money. There are all kinds of favors that friends ask of each other to borrow a car. This is a very serious favor. He's asking him to put himself essentially in harm's way for this because he stands to really lose if people get angry. But nonetheless, Yirmiyahu is not able to. Why is he not able to? So the Mitzvot points out that at this point in time, Yirmiyahu is already under some sort of arrest. He's not able to move around, and that's why he needs his agent, Baruch, to do this for him. So what actually happens? That's what happens. He waits, actually, interestingly enough, a year. It's in the fifth year of Joachim's reign, so that's a whole year later, in the ninth month. The ninth month refers to Kislev, and there's a large fast which is called in Yerushalayim, and Baruch goes up and he goes and gets his soapbox. He stands in the Lishkas Gemar Yahu ben Shafan, the Sofer, and he reads in the ears of all the people. So Michayahu, the son of Gemar Yahu, hears this and he gets very agitated by this, and he runs to the Lishka where his father, Gemar Yahu, and all the other people, Elishama the Sofer, Delel Yahu ben Shemaya, Elchanan ben Elnasan ben Achbar, who was the person who extradited one of the prophets from Egypt to kill him, Gemariah, his father, Tzidkiyahu ben Chananiahu, all the ministers, these are all the hotshots, these are the people who are making decisions, who are sitting together, and he interrupts the meeting and he says, "Listen to what Baruch is saying." And they sent for him and they say to him, "What are you reading? Go and take it and go." And Baruch comes and he reads it, and they ask him, they interrogate him, where did you get it from? And he explains that it wasn't my words, it was all from Yirmiyahu, every detail of it was from Yirmiyahu. And they themselves also, Pachadu, Ishel Rayu, they become agitated, they become scared. So what they do is they say, we need to transfer this to the king, but it's too dangerous for you and Yirmiyahu, so you and Yirmiyahu go and hide. And they leave this Megillah, this Megillas Eicha, essentially, in the Lishkas Elishama HaSofer, and they leave it for the king to be read to the king. And that's exactly what happens. So the king sends for a person whose name is Yehudi, and Yehudi reads the Megillah, and he takes it to the house of the king. Where's the king right now? So the Chazal tells us, the pasuk tells us, the pasuk Chov Beis, Amelech Yoshev Beis HaChoref, he's in the winter house. He has some sort of large fireplace burning. And as he reads the first few columns, he tears it up. He just pulls out the razor of the scribe, and he cuts it up, and he throws the rest in the scraps into the fire, and not interested in listening to this at all. And everybody who saw this were like, Pachadu, they weren't scared, the ministers weren't scared, were like, Korus Bigdehem. Nobody tore their clothes. Nobody was interested in any of the import of this. And even though the Elnasan and Eliyahu and Gemarayahu begged the king not to burn it, he didn't really king. He basically sent out an order to go find Baruch and Yirmiyah, and Hashem miraculously vayastirem, Hashem hid them from persecution. The response that at the end of the parak that Hashem says is Hashem says to Yirmiyahu, you should know that you need to write another Megillah and rewrite everything you did on the first one that Yoyakim burnt, and you should know that everything that's in there is going to come upon Israel and upon him. And he's going to die, and his corpse will be thrown on the wayside of the way for unburied for the heat of the day and the coldness at night. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send all the bad things to Israel that he was talking about in this Megillah. And that's what Yirmiyahu does, and he reconstitutes it, and he adds in a few things, which the Mefarshim say is he adds in the last prakim of Eicha. There's only three prakim he adds in the last two right here. A few things just to notice when looking at this parak is this fast day. Why was it that there was a fast day? Why did Baruch wait for this moment? So historically speaking, Rabbi Lau points out that we actually know from the Babylonian records that in the year 604 BCE, before Common Era, that's when the Babylonians describe in the month of Sivan that they launched their international campaign where they start conquering. And it's 6 months later, in the month of Kislev, no less, that they actually attack from the sea the port of Ashkelon, which is on the port of Israel. Obviously, that's a stronghold for Egypt, which is the mainstay defendant and ally of Israel, which obviously puts everybody in a very concerned state. You can imagine that everybody in the local area is very concerned about this superpower expanding its territory, and that's possibly why there was a fast day, which helps, because you understand now that this is the moment that Yirmiyahu and Baruch have been waiting for, because this is the moment that people might be open to change. They're listening, they're concerned, there is something in the air, he's going to take advantage of this, and this is why it is that perhaps all these people, the Sofrim, are meeting right now. They're spiritually very concerned, and Yirmiyahu and Baruch are trying to use this moment to be able to create Teshuvah. It is interesting to notice at this point in time that that where is the king while this is all happening? Well, he is comfortably in his winter palace. While there was a lot of social struggle and suffering and injustice to the lower rungs of society, the king had two palaces, one in the summer, which had open windows for good breezes, and in the winter, you had a large fire burning, so he was obviously doing pretty well. He wasn't huddled in the streets in the fasting. He wasn't concerned about the situation. He was doing quite fine in his own house, just to give you a sense of the difference of his concern about this. That's perhaps why, just as a thought, why part of the description of his demise is going to be that his corpse will be left out in the cold because ultimately, meaning he is ignoring the fact that he is ignoring the concern of the place of Israel and not part of their fast day, he will be left out in the end. Last thing to think about is that one of the accusations, one of the indictments of Jehoiakim and the people who were with him, the governors who were with him, not the scribes who were with him, but the governors who are with him, is that they didn't tear their clothes. Why should they not tear their clothes? So the Mefarshim say, well, yeah, because he should have taken very careful note of what Yirmiyahu was saying. Yirmiyahu was telling him that Eicha Yoshua Badad, like, you know, although it looks like Yerushalayim is doing so well, but it's going to be alone very soon if you don't do anything to change, and he didn't take notice of that. Whereas, actually, Chazal take an extra added dimension over here, and the Gemara in Moed Katan on Chavov Amud Aleph tells us that there's a halacha that we learn from this pasuk, is that when a person sees a sefer, or a sefer Torah, which is burnt, they have a chiyuv kriya, they have a responsibility to tear because the loss of God's Torah from this particular source. That's it. So it wasn't only just the fact that they ignored Yirmiyahu's words, but the fact that these people were so callous that they didn't even appreciate that the word of God was being burnt here in the first place. This really helps us, gives us a window in to the types of people that Yirmiyahu was fighting against and the dangers that are involved in this operation. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.